The Hard Shoulder on Newstalk.
With the all-new Nissan Juke. The coupe crossover by Nissan. Nissan. Innovation that excites.
I certainly picked a good week to present The Hard Shoulder, it says here. Because this Friday, October 30th, we are all dressing up here at Newstalk in our Halloween costumes. Oh, are we? To raise money for Trick or Treat for Temple Street. And we would like you to join in too. Now, whether you're going for something scary or something funny, there is just one rule. If you dress up, you donate. Great way to have some fun while raising vital funds for life-saving treatments for Temple Street Hospital. So get your costume together for this Friday and find out how to donate at newstalk.com/donate. newstalk.com/donate. And we'll remind you about that as the week goes on. Okay, we're 1 week out today from the US election. And who better to get his opinion other than the broadcaster, managing editor of Inside Sources, bon vivant, bon viveur, and demagogue-in-chief, Michael Graham. Mr. Graham, how are you, sir?
I've been knocked down to managing demagogue editor, just all right, so okay. You know. So we're having a
raconteur par excellence.
Exactly. Trying to do my best. Absolutely. So what's your Halloween costume going to be?
Moving swiftly on. Michael,
on.
We are 7 days.
Oh, please don't. I don't
dress up.
Please tell me that your costume does not have the word naughty.
No, I don't do dress up.
That's all I ask.
I don't do dress up. I've never done fancy dress. I hate it. I don't see the point of it. And I've now just ruined that campaign to raise funds for Temple Street. That's just me personally, but I'm a Grinch. I'm ridiculous. I should be shoved in a corner, face in, and told I'm a bold boy.
I'm just going to, for my Halloween party, I'm just going to roam around bumping into people, shouting random phrases that make no sense and acting like I don't know where I am. I'm going as Joe Biden. So that's going to work for me, I think.
Okay, listen, but your prediction would be that Biden's probably going to win. Am I right?
Yep, absolutely. A new flurry of polls out today that show the popular vote margin for Biden as high as plus 12. And if he really does beat Trump, 51-40, there's just no way that Trump can win. At the same time, there are also a spate of new polls showing that places like Pennsylvania are a lot closer than they were just 2 weeks ago when it was a double-digit lead. In fact, two polls have him either tied or within two. Mm. And so one thing to keep an eye out as you watch election night or early morning for Ireland, if Trump wins the states that he won last time, he can afford to lose two of the three of Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania. He'll still be president. So he could lose Wisconsin, lose Michigan, the whole Pennsylvania. He's president, or any one of the three. He only needs one.
A lot of the pollsters,
so that's why you can't say it's not going to happen. It could happen.
A lot of the pollsters say that Pennsylvania actually will be the one. As goes Pennsylvania, will go the rest of the country, or it will decide it. You are famously a conservative with a small C, but not stupid, as you're prone to, as you're very happy to say. But you are on the right of the political spectrum. Is there any part of you that feels Trump is within real striking distance?
So I was the wrongest person in America in 2016. I totally did not see Trump happening. I predicted he couldn't win the primary, couldn't win the general. The morning he was elected, I mean, the morning he was sworn in, I looked at my wife. We lived in D.C. at the time. And I said, I wonder what's going to happen today. She says, what do you mean? Trump's going to be president. And I said, no, what? It is impossible for Donald Trump to be president. I was expecting, like, in the Mission Impossible movies, they have the mask and they pull it off. And underneath is Mitt Romney or whatever. I was not. So I'm totally wrong about everything. I don't think Trump can win. I don't see the map, but if he wins Florida by, 100,000 votes, and he wins North Carolina by 20,000 votes, and then he can hold on to one of those three that I just mentioned, he could win the presidency. It's also, however, and this is, I think this is significant. I heard a pollster say this the other day. It's just as likely that Biden wins all that stuff, and he wins Texas and Georgia, and we have the kind of lopsided victory, that America hasn't seen since the Reagan Bush era, and that we could see that. So either is possible.
Yeah, there is no possibility that the situation could be complete, could be totally reversed. In that Trump wins the popular vote, but Biden gets the electoral votes. Does it that way?
That's not happening. No.
Right. Now here's a question. Just a few things that have happened that seem significant over the weekend. Mark Meadows, the White House chief of staff, coming out and admitting what no leadership in any government that I have come across, admitting defeat where corona is concerned, saying we can't control this. Now, I mean, maybe people in governments all over the world feel that, but none of them are coming out and publicly saying it.
Yeah, and thank you for making that note. See, we have this phrase in D.C. called the Kinsley gaffe. It's named after a reporter who said a true gaffe in politics is when you accidentally tell the truth. Everybody knows that Ireland cannot contain COVID. You've been trying for months. You've made zero progress. You're in the same lousy shape you were in as you were in back in March and
we
April.
We did make progress, but we took our foot off the gas, Michael, and we're back where we started.
You haven't made any progress in changing the trajectory of the virus. And I know this is going to shock people. It's a virus. And so until there's a vaccine, all you can do is mitigate. And Mark Meadows screwed up by acknowledging what everybody knows is true, that it can't be stopped. And so the smart thing is to mitigate, you know, keep the people who are the most at risk, you know, cloistered away as best you can, have treatment for the people who get it. And so what you have had in the United States is every day the media is screaming, oh, my gosh, look at the number of cases. Now, by the way, this is an English question. In America, when we use the word cases, we use it to mean someone who's sick, like you've got a case of the flu, a case of cancer, a case of the Mondays, That's not what we have with COVID. We have infections. That is, people are positive, but they don't even know they have it because they're totally asymptomatic. They have, you know, blah, blah, blah. But our death rate has gone down. So we've had a lot more people who are testing positive, and the rate of people dying keeps going down, down, down. But saying that at a time when COVID is the top issue is yet another way that the Trump administration has screwed up its political handling of COVID. The policy would be the same no matter who you had, because the policy options are what they are, and the virus is a virus.
What about the 250,000 deaths? That's more loss of life than the last, half dozen wars America has fought? I mean, surely that's a figure that resonates really, really badly.
It's absolutely terrible. It's, you know, it's 4 to 5 times worse than a typical, season of the flu. It's awful. But the question, once again, is from a public policy standpoint, without a vaccine, what is your suggestion? If the suggestion is to do a total extended lockdown, you know, we did a lockdown that we were told was going to break the back of the virus. It was just designed to keep the hospitals from being overflowing, you know, from people dying without treatment. So we did that and it worked. But then people got in their mind that the lockdown could do what Italy tried to do, which was end the virus. Well, where's Italy? Looking back at lockdowns again. You can't end a virus. It's not possible. All you can do is mitigate until you have a vaccine or until some other exigent, you know, circumstance arises.
Okay, Michael, I want to move on to one final question, and I'm sure you're going to have plenty to say about this, so I want to give you time to do it. You were just at a Trump rally in New Hampshire.
Yep.
What was it like?
I tell you, the Trump people are fired up. They're the people that when you walk into the pub, they shout, "Hey, come on in!" And they don't have to know you, when they just want to buy you drinks. They're the people.
They're all on steroids like him, aren't they?
No. These are self-medicated. They medicate out of bottles mostly, and they are the part of America that is still having or wants to have fun. They are the part of America that's not offended by movies like Grease. They're the part of America who takes a more, because many of them are blue collar, and so they don't have the ability to, you know, work from home and white collar work or whatever. They're like, you know, you just got to live life. We got to take your chances. Got to be smart. Do the best you can. And they love Donald Trump. I said 4 years ago that any Republican would have beaten Hillary Clinton, and the fact that Trump won proves it. She was a terrible candidate. But I have to tell you, I might have been right. I don't know. Trump does have a core following. It's not big enough to win an election, but it is a core following unlike any candidate I've ever seen, including when I was a little kid and Reagan was around. Mm-hmm. It's really amazing to watch their passion. They have these signs they put up everywhere down in Pennsylvania. We have a product called that covers Philadelphia as part of Inside Sources, and it got reports this weekend. They were doing road rallies where they get people just, hey, get a Trump flag and you'll get in your car. Come on. 2.5 miles of cars rolling from Pennsylvania, Ohio, and West Virginia in a caravan. Wow. Joe Biden couldn't put together 2.5 cars, much less 2.5 miles.
But he's still going to win.
You know what? Here's the deal. A vote that's casted enthusiastically by a hardcore committed voter counts just the same as someone who shows up and says, crap, I guess I'm stuck with this guy. The vote still counts the same.
Okay, and there's no way Trump will concede, and he'll do everything in his absolute power to drag it on as possible. And we could actually get as close as they've ever come to Inauguration Day and still not have a clear result.
Well, if they do, it won't be because of Trump. It'll be because the courts decided to step in and start changing the rules of voting at the last moment. And just very, very quickly, the issue isn't, are you going to let people drop off ballots without a postmark? Are you going to let people mail in their ballots? Are you going to have pop-up voting sites a week before the election? Those individually aren't bad. What's bad is states that have never done this before, a bunch of them are all doing it all at once. And so you know how it is. The first time you do something, you always have unintended consequences and kinks. That's the mistake. The courts would have been much smarter to say, look, I know COVID's weird and it causes issues. We're not going to do any drastic rule changes. For example, in Ireland, do you let people count ballots that don't arrive until a week after the election's over? That's what we're doing in some of our states. A week after the election. If your ballot shows up in the mail, we're going to count it.
But Michael, it is America, and anything is possible in America. Michael Graham, thank you so much for that. We will talk to you again, and I can't wait to hear what you have to say after the election.